ministering spirits. Thank you, Lord, for the angels, the angelic host. Thank you, Lord, for the warring angels, the ministering angels, and the spirits of fire, the healing angels. Just like the one that would go stir up the waters in the pool of Bethesda. Thank you, God, for the angels. Thank you, Jesus, for life. Thank you for life more abundantly. Thank you, God, that the angels perform your word, God. Thank you, Lord, that they ministered to Jesus after he came out of the wilderness. We need the angels, Lord. And so I'm going to talk about angels and demons and reality and realms, the kingdom. Oh, Shatta. You know, when I was a brand new believer, my first encounters were just with demons. Demons and God, you know. I mean, the first time I ever seen a demon was in a pastor's home. I remember just looking at this Master of Puppets CD that his son was into, and it was Metallica. It was a Master of Puppets CD, and I didn't know anything. I was a brand new believer. All I knew was I love Jesus, and I want to get to know him more, because this is all awesome to me. Getting to know the glory of God, the presence of God, the peace of God, and the revelation of scriptures, and it's the manna, the bread of life. It was so exciting, and I only knew the good side until I went to this pastor's house. You know, well, I had other encounters in the world and stuff like that, but I didn't really, since I came back to the Lord, it was all like fresh. It was all the goody stuff. You know, I never ran into any demons until I went to this pastor's home and I saw this Metallica CD with called Master of Puppets. I don't remember what the CD looks like. Maybe like Tombstones or something. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It's what matters is what was hiding inside of it. And I guess his son backslid. He was a pastor's son, and he wanted to do his own thing. And then anyways, I stared at this CD. It was laying on the floor, and out of it came a spirit right up into my face. And it was like, I didn't see it physically with my eyes, but I saw it like spiritually. I don't know how to explain that. Just this presence came right up to my face, but it could not touch me. And I felt like, whoa, having a spiritual encounter. I didn't know that it was a demon at first. I was like, oh, something spiritual is happening, but I didn't know if it was good or bad. And then afterwards, it just kind of felt dirty. And I told the pastor, I said, yeah, there's something spiritual happening. I don't know what it is. I've never experienced this before. And I feel a little bit afraid. And he's like, it's okay. And when one person's like, ooh, so sensitive. And I'm like, sensitive? You don't feel that? You know, my mom was praying for me to have discerning of spirits and wisdom, because she thought I was like just, I was like a fool and just figuring out what this whole, you know, Christian life is about. I had no idea that. I thought, like, in a pastor's home, it's supposed to be just angels, Jesus, the glory, you know, all the goody stuff. It shocked me that a demon could creep into a pastor's home, because I thought they were invincible. They're the deliverers of the word of life, you know. But it's quite shocking to know that a lot of pastors will be waking up in hell. You know, a lot of Christians will be waking up in hell. A lot of atheists, a lot of Muslims. Demons are no respecter of persons. They attach themselves to darkness. And if you give your life over to it, you know, they come to take what's theirs. And Jesus, just like Jesus comes to take what is his. You know, believe, if you give your life to Jesus, your life belongs to Jesus. You give your life to a demon, well, then your life belongs to a demon. So anyways, I'm not saying that he was, you know, I'm just saying that there will be a lot of pastors that wake up in hell. And there will be a lot of, you know, Christians that are shocked. Jesus says, like, in that day, you know, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Or didn't we teach? Didn't we preach forgiveness of sins? And didn't we do all these things in your name? And he'll say, depart from me, for I never knew you. You're a worker of iniquity. So that just tells me, like, not everyone will be going into the kingdom. It's a narrow road. And it's like you have to give everything to God. And anyways, I encountered this demon. I had no idea. It shocked me. And that began to escalate. And I realized it's because I was a worshiper. When I first, like, a lot of people in, like, this particular church that I went to, they didn't want to worship God. They were bored, and they weren't into worshiping God. They were into, like, they just wanted to get their fire insurance and go home, and they had to go to church because their parents made them go and stuff like that, you know? Basically, there was no glory manifesting through the place enough to bring a big enough breakthrough to break them through, you know? So they thought, you know, they were basically in a religion. The Christian religion, Sunday morning services, and hallelujah. So, to escalate this thing, I went to, the more I worship God, the more people would, like, recognize, like, the anointing would come on me, and the people would come and pray for me, and like, whoa, I feel the anointing on you. And, well, yeah, it's because I just finished bawling my eyes out from all my lost friends that I left that don't know Jesus yet. You know, the Spirit was interceding through me. It's not just me, it's like it's the Spirit interceding through me. And so that's what you feel. And then I would leave, like, just to go out to places. I remember one time just in a stadium, this demon-possessed dude comes up to me, and I'm about to go to the washroom, and he's like, you're going to hell. And I thought, like, because my mind isn't quite renewed yet, and, like, I thought he was talking about the bathroom, like they were dirty or something, you know? But that same feeling, that burning piss feeling, I don't know. Not that I know what burning piss feels like, but that's what demons, I don't know. It just has an atmosphere of filthy, hot air, you know. And like, I'm going to the bathroom, man. Then I just went to the bathroom, and I realized that's a demon. So I decided, like, I'm going to attack the demon. So I was like, how do I do that? I don't know how to cast out devils. I'm all new. This is new to me. So I came out of the bathroom, and I'm like, I'll pray in tongues. I'll chase him with the tongues. So I'm like, I went looking for him in this stadium. I went to this, I don't even know who was preaching, but I'm like, I went and found him, and I'm shakarabakuraba shukoalaba shaka. And I said, like, I know who you are. You're a demon. And I started chasing this guy around in the stadium, chasing him, speaking in tongues. Because that's all I knew. It was the gift of the Spirit. I knew that the Spirit cast out demons. I had enough lick of wisdom to know that that's what'll work, is it's the Spirit. If I drive out demons by the finger of God, you know, the kingdom of heaven's come upon you. God is Spirit. So that was where a couple encounters with the demons. And so you can't tell me that demons aren't real, because I've seen them. Those are just a couple experiences. I've seen, man, they try to bottle me because I'm just talking to my friend on a bus about the love of God. I mean, I've just gotten plastered in this meeting and worship. I'm just worshiping God, and like, tears are running down my face, and my friend beside me is like, there's nothing. He's just staring at me like, what is wrong with you? Why are you so emotional? It's not that good of a song, you know? But I'm like, I'm in this holy of holies in the manifest presence of Jesus. I feel God now. And I'm just in this place, this realm of glory. And I'm getting filled with, you know, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing songs, spiritual hymns. I'm just singing from my heart to God, and I'm getting so filled with the Holy Spirit. It's just overwhelming me. My friend beside me has no clue what's going on. Clueless to reality. So then we get it, the meeting's done, and then we're done. I'm on the bus. He's like, what happened, dude? Like, why are you crying, like, during the song? I'm like, well, didn't you feel the presence of God? Like, the oil, the anointing was so strong. He's like, what are you talking about, dude? Like, you didn't feel that? Like, no, I feel nothing. We're just singing songs. You know, it's Tim, it's choir practice. So I said, well, the only way I can describe it is like God just cuts off the top of your head and he just pours this warm oil and it goes right through you. And that warm oil is his love. Infinite love, filling every cell, every crevice, every nerve ending is just absorbed in this love of God, and it just goes right through you, and your emotions just go on overdrive. You realize this is the love of God that passes knowledge. And he still couldn't get it. So I'm like, we get on the bus and I'm still explaining to him like how my limited abilities, like my limited understanding, I mean, of how the love of God works. I was like, you just open your heart wide to God. It's your first love gate, and then God comes through it like rivers of living water. I can't remember exactly what I say, but this guy at the front of the bus, you can feel that spirit again. It's a demon. He's like, the bus was empty. It was just me and this guy, and I'm not yelling. I'm talking like I am now, just kind of like just whispering because we don't want to disturb anybody. And I was like, yeah, God just touched my heart, and he'll touch you too. It doesn't matter, you know. Just open your heart wide, you know, knock, and it'll be open. Ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, you know. Jesus is, he wants to touch his kids, you know. And the guy at the front of the bus, you shut up, you blankety blank. He's just screaming at me from, well, at Christ in me, because the darkness always wants conflict with the light. And he's screaming, shut up, you blankety blankety, you blah, blah, blah. And like, the bus driver turned to him and he said, you shut up, what are you yelling at these kids for? You know, this is like brand new believer. And the demon's just manifesting through this guy. Just full out. You probably had no idea what was going on. Clueless to reality. So then we get to our stop. We get off the bus. And then we have to transfer to another bus. And then we get on this other bus. And we're just talking about the kingdom. We're just talking about life, eternal life, the glory, the goodie bags, like normal things what you should talk about every day. So you just set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, and then you'll start talking about things above, and that reality will manifest around you, you know. And so I'm talking to him about God and how my understanding how the kingdom works in a very limited way, and there's a lady behind me with a bottle, and she has like this bottle, she's like, shut up, shut up, and like that, there's that feeling again, that spirit, it's like discernment. I'm discerning a filthy demon spirit. Because I can feel it. I can see it through the person in their face, you know, their countenance. And there's this raging, murderous demon. The demon, Jesus said that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, that thing wanted to kill and destroy me. Steal my life away, you know. And then so I didn't know anything better. I didn't know I can say, in the name of Jesus, confront the thing. You know, I was like, I was scared, man. I was like, because this thing had a spirit of fear. And I thought it was me that was scared, but it was the demon that was scared. Because the demon's like, if this guy knows who he is, he's going to cast us out. So let's try to scare him. Will you come here, spirit of fear? You go to the front, you know. You manifest through the face of this human. And then I'm on the other side watching like this whole thing go on. Like, I had no idea. And so I gave in. I got scared. I stopped talking. I didn't want to die. I thought this woman was going to bottle me with, like, she had a bottle in her hand, a glass one, and she would kill me. So, that over and over again, I would see all these demons. And then another time I was at the bus stop waiting for, to go downtown. I can't remember, I was going to go look at some guitars or something at like Long McQuaid. I like to go there and just play around and, you know, mess around on the guitar. Shaka. And this bus came, I felt the demon come from two blocks away when the bus was like way down there, the transit buses. I could feel this, like just that feeling, which is called a demon. It's like, okay, when you feel the glory, wow, there's so much peace. There's so much love. There's so much anointing here. There's so much glory. There's so much life. Well, this thing is like, ugh. There's so much filth. There's so much, like, just, you just want to get that thing away from you because it feels filthy, it's unclean. That's why Jesus called them their unclean spirits. I felt an unclean spirit, and I didn't know what it was. Then when the bus got here, I went and sat down, and there was a little kid sitting in front of me across from the seat, because we were against the windows on the edges of the bus, and he was sitting like across from me with his dad. And all of a sudden, the kid's, I didn't know, like, I, in the natural, it looks like he's just a mental kid. He's mental, you know, and he was, we drove by this street church where I used to go, and I would go there and give my testimony, and I'd preach for a bit, and I'd lead worship, and just, like, go open up realms of glory for people to enter into. And this kid, when we drove by the street church, he's like, he was like pretending like he was trapped on the bus doing this weird thing, and then he'd look at me and laugh. And it was a demon. It was a demon that made him mentally ill. Like, he did not have a sound mind. His mind was being tormented by demons. I didn't know what to do. So I'm like, I was trying to bind the demon underneath my breath, and I don't know, this is all new to me. Why didn't anyone teach me this? How to deal with demons? I'll tell you one more. Yeah, I'll tell you how to deal with them. If I by the finger of God cast out demons, you know that the kingdom of God has come upon you. It's the finger of God. It's His touch. It's when the kingdom of God touches that darkness and it flees from the person so that a human can be free. I gave this testimony in another video, but I was on a sky train. I was going somewhere very important, and I had to be there. But there was this man that was demon possessed. Okay, we're talking about demons first. We'll get into the glory stuff after, I guess. It's reality. Deal with it. I have to every day. And I'm sitting on this sky train, and there was this man. And he was angry. He was yelling at these girls, these couple of young teenagers, maybe like 13, 12. He's like, love your parents, love your mother, love them. And he was scaring them because it was a demon, and it was getting me angry. Because I'm like, this is not the will of God. This is not on earth as it is in heaven. I said, God, I didn't expect him to answer me. I said, God, what do you want to do about this? Do you want me to rebuke him under my breath and pray in tongues? What do you want to do about this? Because this man is scaring these girls, and I don't like it. And then the Holy Spirit, just 1 second of the manifest presence of God, I didn't feel nothing. And for 1 second, tell him I love him. And then the presence of God just lifted or something. I'm like, whoa, was that the Lord? Tell him I love him. Nah, I just made that up in my mind. And I'm like, whoa, what if that was the Lord? I might be in disobedience if I don't tell him that I love him, that God says that he loves him. Oh, wait a second. And then I'm like having this war in my mind that if I tell him that God says he loves you, I'm going to get punched in the face. This guy is full of rage. And then this fear hit me. I'm like, oh, what do I do? Was this God? I felt the presence and the anointing and the spirit voice. Like, what? You know, it was God, wasn't it? And so, I don't know, the train stopped and he got off. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't want to disobey God. I ran off the train, and he's walking a little bit ahead of me, and he's off to my, I don't know, a few feet away. And I just, okay, I'm going to do it. I get punched. I put my hand on his shoulder, said, sir, Jesus says that he loves you. God loves you. And he turns around with tears rolling down his face. He's like, when you touched me, it was like an angel touched me. Yeah, that's the Lord saying that he loves you. And that spirit is confirming that what he says is true. That's the love of God you feel. Do you want him in your heart now? And he's like, yes. And I prayed with him on the sky train. How did I cast out the devil? By the finger and the touch of God. Through faith and obedience to the word of God. God said, tell him I love him. And perfect love casts out fear. The demon left the man. And when the demon left the man, it had no grounds to blind him. So when Jesus touched him, the demon left the man, he had a choice to make, to receive that love, eternal love, forever, or just go back into darkness. And he chose life. Thank God. So there is a way to destroy the works of the devil. There is a way to destroy darkness. And, you know, cast out demons. You cast them out by the Spirit of God. You know, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from God. And that life, eternal life, came to a man. Not any works of mine, because, like, I was just angry. I didn't know what to do. But God knew what to do. God knew what he needed. And it took faith to step through that fear. You know, a lot of times you think that fear is you, but it's not. It's the spirit of fear. That's not in our nature. We're made in the image of God, right? You know, God is fearless. He doesn't have that timidity and fear of getting destroyed in him. It's not in him. It's not nature at all. That demon had a spirit of fear. That God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. A sound mind. Clarity. The mind of Christ. And so, yeah, that was a victorious day, and I rejoiced in that. I made a video about it earlier, somewhere, like, years ago in my library of YouTube videos. Hallelujah. Yeah, so demons are real. God is real. He's the one who casts them out through you. Your double-edged sword, it's his word in your mouth. Jesus says that he loves you. And there was substance on it. It wasn't just words. It was his words in my heart, in my mouth, and spoken to me. And I stepped out of faith and obeyed him. And it took faith. I thought I was going to get beat up, honestly. Well, listen, it's not all just demons. There's angels, like there's living creatures in heaven. There's cherubim, there's seraphim, like the grass, the flowers. When I was in heaven, I saw these flowers like the size of a forest. It's just like not, you can't describe it, because it's like, it's a different realm. It's a different dimension. And in that dimension, that realm of heaven, like there's creatures that with four faces, you know, there's things there that they're not on this earth in the natural realm. And some of the beings there, like the angels, I talked about this angel a few times, but I never asked them their names. I don't dialogue with them. I don't talk to them. I do talk to them, but they never talk back to me. I question them. Maybe that's why they don't talk back to me. I mean, I was at work one time, and there was this huge angel. He went right through, like, it's like a transparency went over my eyes, and I could see in the spirit realm, and there was, and in the natural, like my eyes open, and I saw this big being. He was going right through the roof, and we had a two-story workshop, and I still don't even know why this angel was there. He went through the roof, and I'm like, is this an angel of light? What is this? I feel peace, but what is this thing? And I'm like, I'm doing my work, and I'm like, well, Bible says to test the spirits to see whether they are of God, so let's just test this out. You know, demons will never worship God in spirit and truth. So I'm like, I said, let's worship Jesus. Let's worship God. And I started singing Hallelujah or something. I can't remember if that was what. Yeah, I think that's what I was singing. I was just singing a song while I'm sanding my wood. And I'm looking at, and I just kind of forgot about it. I started worshiping. And like the presence and the peace that was already in the room or in the realm just intensified like about four or five times stronger. I'm like, wow, this is glorious. And I remember I looked over again to see if the angel was gone. Like I didn't see him anymore, or if he was just removed from my vision. I have no idea why God even allowed me to see that. I think he was just saying, like, yeah, Sam, I'm with you. My angels will watch over you. You'll not dash your foot against a stone. Okay, here's a really good testimony here. That one's a little bit cool, but this one is powerful. I was in worship. I used to go to these street churches, and you meet a lot of demon-possessed people who just need to get possessed by God. but you got to get the demon out first. So I was worshiping, and there was zero anointing. I was actually really frustrated. I'm like, why is there no anointing? And I'm doing everything. I'm singing my hardest right to God, and like, I don't feel the peace. I don't feel the anointing. I don't feel the breakthrough. You know, where's the anointing, God? And in the midst of worship, I see out of the corner of my eye, there's this man coming really fast towards me. He was like this, and then he stopped, like right about this far from my face. He stopped. And then he just took off running. What happened was, as soon as he stopped right in front of me, the power of God just went boom right and manifested from zero anointing to like maybe like a five from whatever the deepest I've ever experienced, the glory and presence of God. Just boom, like that, instantly. And I think that was an angel or God, I don't know. It was just the presence, the peace, the anointing, the shaka, you know. And the guy goes running away. And he's like, you have... I know, wait. I said, stop! Because I felt courageous all of a sudden. The anointing's here. All things are possible now. I said, stop! And he's like, he turns around and he says, you have the power, man! I was like, no, I don't have the power. that's the angel of the Lord. Or I said, or that's God, or Jesus. I can't remember what I said, but I told him, come here! And then, I basically told him he needs to get born again because he's experienced God now. And it's too late. He has to make a choice. And of course, he made the right choice. We prayed with him. And then I was like, anything else you want prayer for? You know, because like, he already gave his, he got born again. Does he need a Bible? I'm thinking, you know, does he need a Bible? Does he need like some cassette tapes of teaching or something? Yeah. He's like, yes, prayer. I need 10 wives.
What?
10 wives? I was like, one will kill you, bro. You could have died yourself. You don't need 10 wives. I'll pray for one. It was cool. We ate with him. We had some, a little snack thing with him. We sat down and feasted with him, just like, you know, kind of what they would do in the old, you know, the old days when people got born again. I don't know. That was a good day. That made me so happy. Oh, power of God, when you least expect it, he'll give his angels charge over you. You know? He'll surround you. The angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear him. So it's like, even when you don't feel anything, but you're just doing the will of God, you're stepping out in faith and obedience, because God told me to go to that church, and I asked him to send me to the darkest places, and he sent me to these two street churches, and that's where there was a lot of darkness there. A lot of those people are witches and warlocks, throwing hexes and curses on people, and so you go right in the midst of that, and you shine the light and show the more dominant power, demonstrate it, and it doesn't look like you can really do anything. You're not really doing anything. All you're doing is you're opening your heart to God, and you're remaining humble. Because true humility is full dependence on God. And it looks like pride to all the carnal minds around you. True humility is full dependence on God. Like Moses, fully dependent on God. And the sons of Korah or whatever, they thought that like Moses was full of pride. He's trying to rule over them. But when they came against him with accusations, he fell on his face. What was he doing? He's fully depending on God. God, what do you say about this? Because he was humble. He wrote about himself that he was the most humble man on the earth. You know, takes faith because he needed that. He had to be humble to lead all those people out of Egypt into the promised land, into the land of milk and honey. You know, he had to depend on the Holy Ghost. He had to depend on God. And so God's protecting us, you know. Sometimes it feels like you're just going through the motions, but that realm is always there. You know, demons, angels, God, Satan, you know. But Satan's defeated. He's in a fallen kingdom. That means it's fallen. It's fallen from grace. It's fallen from the power of God. And we're in the kingdom of light, glory. You know, kingdom of darkness, kingdom of light. Like, look how easy it is to drive out darkness. It's like a flick of switch. And all the darkness, it just gets obliterated. Well, what do? You flick that gate wide open, that first love gate, and the rivers of living water will flow out your being. Oh, yeah, that reminds me. I had an awesome revelation today, or yesterday. Oh, shucka, hold on a second. Put it on my Facebook. I was reading the Bible, you know, how John the Baptist, Holy Spirit, shucka, John the Baptist, it was said of him that he was the greatest of the old, like basically of the old covenant, because he would baptize people in water, preparing them for the way of the Lord. And it's like, but the least in the kingdom is greater than him. Because we don't baptize with like in the regular water, like we baptize people with living water. Out of your heart will flow the issues of life. What did Jesus say to the woman at the well? Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. You know, it's like you can baptize people around you with the rivers of life. With the river of life, with the Holy Spirit. Because if you're born of the Spirit, you're one spirit with the Lord. And as he baptized people, he comes through your spirit and baptizes people in with the anointing. You know, with life. As I put my hand on that man, what did God do? He baptized him with life. He felt it. That spirit hit him. And he had a choice to make. Jesus, God says that he loves you. Jesus loves you. And he's baptizing the love of God right there. So God's given us the ability to baptize people in the love of God. Baptize people with living water to wash away those filthy spirits. Those filthy demons of fear. Filthy demons of like insanity. Oppressive demons. Depression. Listen, they're all demons. You could put a name tag on it, but it's still a demon. You know, epilepsy. Like, what was that person with epilepsy in the Bible? Like that young person who's quivering. Jesus called it a deaf and a dumb spirit. Why didn't he call it epilepsy? It doesn't matter what we name tag we put on it. When we're made in the image of God, we're not supposed to have any of that stuff. And we're returning back to the full image of God. What we were created to be like in the beginning. We just got to be transformed and transfigured by Christ in us, the hope of manifest glory. When that glory is fully revealed of Christ in us, the hope of glory, Christ in us, like, I mean, the entire body is connected together in the Spirit, raised up on the third day, seated with Christ in heavenly places, well aware of where we are, manifesting that reality into the whole earth. We'll have a new heavens and a new earth. It'll be like the days of Noah, just baptizing everybody into the rivers of living water. What happened in the days of Noah? Like all flesh died, right? What do you think is going to happen when everyone's manifesting the God's Spirit all over the earth? The flesh nature will die so that Christ nature will survive and just like it's survive. Will just live through everyone. It's a choice. Whether you receive life or deny life, we have the opportunity to receive Christ now. Now is the day of salvation. Salvation is not just getting your fire insurance. Salvation is being transformed, having the mind of Christ, walking in the glory, walking in peace, casting out devils, saying hi to angels, whatever. This reality, you're well aware of the reality of the kingdom of heaven around you. You're well aware of the kingdom of God within you. Hallelujah. Here, I'll read a couple of Facebook posts. I was reading the Passion Translation. I wanted to read the entire book of Matthew out loud. And there's a couple nuggets in there. That's where I got the baptism thing from. Jesus, this is what Jesus said. Whenever you pray, go into your innermost chamber and be alone with Father God. You know what that's talking about, right? Go into the Holy of Holies. Go into that deep place inside of God, far above all the distractions of life, in the secret place where only you and God are just like, it's just like you are alone with God. You just lock out the world around you, and he might open up heaven around you so you can see, like, oh, okay, there's some living creatures, there's some cherubim, there's some seraphim, there's a throne, there's, you know, all these things. But it's just heart to heart, spirit to spirit. You're just communing with God in that first love gate. That's where you see God from. It's the pure in heart. See God, you know. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You see God through your love gate, and you just open it wider and see more clearer. The more piercing that love is in your heart towards God and God's love, it just becomes manifest in your heart, so you can see more, even more clearer. You want to see clearer? Love God. All the blueprints and plans of life are in Him. He is the purpose of life. Without God, we have no purpose in life. And if we do choose a purpose, it's a lesser purpose. It's a distraction. It's a distraction from Him. Or God can put His anointing on something that you actually think is the purpose of your life, and then it's just like a side thing. It's like, it's not your true full purpose or potential. Your purpose is Him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ being formed in you. And as you yield to that river of life, it just, like, it brings life wherever He goes. He flows wherever He wants to flow. Whether He wants to touch the demon-possessed guy and get him, you know, saved, or whether He just wants to flood your neighbors as you baptize them with your prayers and pour out your spirit, His spirit through your spirit, everywhere you go. I mean, I went walking through a dollar store. I don't know if you guys have those where you are, but I just walk in through the store and I didn't feel nothing. All of a sudden I walk by this one, boom! This person is walking in a realm of glory. It just hit me. So I'm like, whoa. I didn't say it. I didn't know who the person was. I wanted to go stalk them. I wanted to, like, just stand next to them. What happened? I got baptized in the river of glory that they were walking in. Many times this has happened to me. You just walk by, and some people you walk by, oh, like I said, you have the demons on, the demon was like two blocks before it actually even reached me, like physically in the natural. Listen, these things manifest all around. I can't even talk right now. I remember my friend, Marcel, he's like this little intercessor. Comes from, he used to drive a long time to get to, like, the church meeting. I used to lead worship in this church, and he would drive for about, like, an hour and a half or about an hour, depending on traffic, to get, and then he would just pray for the entire service, and he walked in so much sauce. I make it all sound like this happened a long time. This is just, he walks in a lot of sauce. And I remember just as he walked through the door, it's like he spilled the anointing throughout the whole room. Just boom. And he just came into, and he was hammered in the Holy Ghost. He came in the room before he came in the room. It's like he opened the door, and boom, just this realm of glory just went throughout the entire room. And I knew it was going to be a good service. Oh, man, hallelujah. Yeah. And it's good, man. Hallelujah. So what are you saying about all that? I'm just saying, like, be aware of reality around you. Listen, God wants to fill you. He wants to fill me. He wants to fill the entire body of Christ to the point where we overflow and into the world and give, like, the world gets the overflow of our relationship with God, which breaks them free so they can make a decision. It's like, wow, I want God too. That's how, like, we're the light of the world. The light cannot be hidden, you know? It needs to be manifest so that these people can see our good works. It's not our good works. It's God working through His people. It's His works that He's prepared ahead of time for us to walk in. And it's amazing. I love life. I love the presence of God. I love the glory. I love seeing people get delivered. I love watching demons fly out of people and life coming and filling them. I mean, the first time I ever cast out a demon, like, that I know that it was, like, it was hard work for me. It's this girl. We sat down. I sat her down on a chair, and And I don't remember. Oh, I know her name, but I'm not going to say it. I sat her down on a chair, and we're praying for her. And I'm like, I don't know, man. She says, like, my friend says that she has a demon. And she wanted to get prayer to get the demon taken out. So I'm like, okay, well, we can do that. Christians. That's what we do. Oh, yeah. So I got my little red Bible out. You know, those Gideon ones? Those, those little New Testaments. Like, I started reading it out loud. And I was just, I can't remember what I was reading. And then she just grabbed the Bible. Threw it across the room. I'm like, whoa, it's a real demon. So I'm like, let's lay hands on her. So we laid hands on her. I'm like, come out of her, devil, in the name of Jesus. Come out of her. Come out. Because that's what Jesus did. Was it? I don't know. That's what I thought. So I'm rebuking. Spit is flying. I can see spit just landing on her. I'm like, come out of her, devil. And I was rebuking this devil, and it would not leave. I don't get it. So I started yelling louder. I thought volume would drive the devil. I'd scare it. My loud, majestic voice, but it didn't leave. And my mom was there, and this other girl was there. We're praying for this poor girl. I lost my voice from yelling at the demon. I was like, oh, man. And then finally it went real quiet. I was like, I think it's gone. So I'm like, let's worship God. So I grabbed my guitar. I lost my voice. I'm like, let's worship God. You know, my voice is all gone. I'm like, I try to sing Amazing Grace, and they're like, Chris, blessing God, oh man, this is hard work. So I like, all right, put your hands on her, stomach and pray in tongues, and I don't know what I'm doing. I thought I did, but I didn't, because all my screaming, all my works of the flesh and conjuring up works of the soul, soul strength, did nothing. But when we prayed in tongues and stuff like that, and then finally the demon left. And I'm like, I'm not sure this time. I'm kind of looking inside her eyes to see if the demon's there. And I didn't see anything. So, I know that Jesus said, once you cast out a demon, you know, if you don't fill that space, seven worse will come, right? So we need to get her filled with the Holy Spirit. So I'm like, okay, are you there? And she said something. I was like, okay, lift your hands and ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. And she put up her hands, like, Holy Spirit. And then tears started rolling down her face. That was evidence that the river of life was flowing out of her face. I'm like, oh, yes, the demon's gone. And then she started weeping. And, you know, she got filled with the Holy Spirit. It was wonderful. Oh, man. But I learned a lot from that. The other time it was so much easier, just Jesus loves you. This time, man, it's like the volume of your voice does not chase demons away. It's the anointing. It's the sauce. It's your walking with God. It's by the finger of God. It's the touch of God coming through you. Cast out devils. You know that the kingdom of heaven has come upon you. It's the kingdom of heaven. Driving out the kingdom of darkness. And these two kingdoms are absolutely real. One is temporary. The kingdom of light will always be here. The kingdom of God is eternal. It cannot be shaken. So everything that can be shaken will be shaken. So we're going to shake the kingdom of darkness out. And there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. And you want to be a part of that. So if you have anything of darkness in you, just repent. It's real simple. Jesus, I give you this. This thing is darkness. I don't want it. If it's darkness, it's going to bring torment to my life. I give it to you. And I want, just now fill me, God. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Crucify, put to death the deeds of my flesh, God. Put to death all the deeds of my flesh so that I can live 100% for you and you can live 100% through me. Without any hindrance whatsoever. And reality will be, you'll be walking in the glory. You'll be walking with God in the cool of the day through the earth garden in heavenly places in Christ. Yeah, so that was just a quick little thing on, you know, angels and demons. I hope you enjoyed it. And you don't fear the demon. because they have a spirit of fear. And so it's not you that has the spirit of fear. You have power, love, and a sound mind, and you can walk in that. You just got to know who you are in Christ, but more importantly, know who Christ is in you. And you're just connected to an entire body of Christ. You know, we're all connected in the spirit. And yeah, it's good to know that, like, we're not alone. We got angels around us, we got Jesus within us, Holy Spirit, the Father. The goodness of God leads them to repentance. The goodness is just His manifest presence. The goodness is just His voice. The goodness is just like, oh my gosh, this is life. I want this. This is God. I want Him. And people will want God when they taste and they'll see Him. They don't want religion because that's just death anyway. And it is rightly so trampled under the foot of men. All that knowledge of good and evil, it's just worthless. It brings death. It doesn't bring transformation. It doesn't bring Christ in you, the hope of glory. It doesn't bring the manifestation. It brings debates and worthlessness. So stick with works. And that's walking with God. Open your gates. Fling wide you heavenly gates. And the King of glory is going to come in and set people free. Hallelujah.